The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues. A croaky Matt still with you as a host and co-host. Alex, full of life and full of voice, joins me. How are you doing, Alex?
I feel good. I sound good. I'm so sorry to hear that you are not getting any healthier. Are we sure this isn't like a Benjamin Button thing where you're just getting younger and younger and right now you're 13 years old?
Oh, I wish I was 13 years old.
Nah, for me, that would be too young. I would like to go back and start at like 22.
Really?
Well, as long as I know what I know now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I'd probably be 18, 19, probably around that age.
Yeah. Definitely, I would be skipping Sundays during that time, though.
Yeah.
Because in that sense, we're looking at, you know, the Trent Edwards 5-1, and that was a heartbreak. But yeah, anyway, the Bills are close to that. We're 4-1. Yep. And let me tell you, this team is a lot better than that team.
Yes, for sure. For sure. I think it was probably one of them. Well, obviously defense, you can't say it was a typical performance. It was just the defense being that damn good. Yeah. That actually really kept us in this game, although you probably have to give the game MVP to Cairo Santos. I think leaving those 12 points off the game really obviously helped us a little bit more.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it was a good, well-built performance, to be honest.
Absolutely. Just overall, I mean, everything that the defense did was on point. You can't really say that they shut down a top-flight offense, you know?
Yeah.
Mariota has looked lost for large chunks of his career so far, but they did it last week against Brady, and they carried through again. Tremaine Edmonds is... I feel like he's going to be the guy who gets overlooked probably his whole career.
Mm.
But right now,
Matt Milano.
Yeah, I mean, no one's talking about Edmonds, and he's probably one of the top five best linebackers in the AFC, top 10 in the NFL right now. He just, his intuition, he knows where to go. He knows when to change out. The guy's just on top of his game, and he's like, I think, 16 years old. So he's just doing fantastic right now.
Yeah. I mean, also a big shout out to the true unsung and unsung player, underrated, not got much love until probably after this game with Jordan Phillips.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that guy who jumped off the balcony and missed the table by 5 feet.
Oh, what
you
was
saw
he
that
thinking?
Video, right?
I think he's all right. I think all he got was a bit of a concussion. That's all, I think.
And a broken elbow and wrist. But yeah, go Bills.
I thought I heard he didn't sustain any broken bones.
You know what? It's the internet. I mean, we're both probably getting our news off Twitter. Who knows? The guy's probably dead, and we would never know it. So.
True.
Yeah. Look dead.
So.
Cheers to you, mate.
Yes. Thanks for making us all look stupid still. So, 4-1. So, it was a close game all the way through. Your takes on the game. What good nuggets have you got?
It's just, for me, it's a real struggle to find, to figure out how I should feel about this. Was our offense bad again? Was the Titans defense good? Is it Daboll? Is Josh Allen scared? You know, I can't help but always have somewhat of a concern. But at the end of it, my final thought is always, we're 4-1. We have the best defense. We have one of the best defenses in the NFL. As long as this offense is average, we'll be fine. And the offense was average. Josh Allen had his best completion percentage of his career, I think. It's just my biggest issue is coming out of the half. And I think that you know, you don't have a Drew Brees mind at quarterback. So Josh is still too young and raw to be able to dissect and interpret the defensive adjustments that he's seeing.
Yeah.
It's all on Dable to kind of game script for Josh something easy and create momentum and move the ball.
Yeah.
So if you were to take all of the third quarters for the season so far, you have essentially what amounts to a game line for Josh Allen. 16 of 33, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's 48.5% passing. Yeah, they need to clean up the third quarter, because later in the season, when we are actually playing against teams who might be well-coached and well-staffed,
yeah.
We're going to need to be – we're just going to need to call plays better, you know?
I think I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern. I mean, first quarter of and third quarter, it seems like the offense is still trying to figure out the defense regardless of how far into that quarter it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've got quarter four where the defense and Josh Allen decide to come to life and see out games. And also the second quarter. I mean, it's a stat for you that this current season, the Bills are the only team not allowing any points to be conceded in quarter two, outscoring the opponents 30-0.
That's fantastic, because I mean, I didn't do that for the third quarter, but I bet you it's bad. I mean, the third quarter is where we let all of the teams come back in every game, right?
Mm, yeah.
So...
And that's why he has to.
We got to flip that. If it takes our team a quarter to get comfortable, then that means that we're playing half a game and you don't really win those games. So yeah. I think that we've been lucky.
Mm.
I mean, I don't want to say that, because all of the credit in the world goes to the defense, but you have to score points to win games, right? And yeah. To that end, I don't think we've played a good coach in any of our wins. I mean, how does Vrabel put out his kicker in those situations, you know?
Yeah, I think what I heard was he was trying to say, I've still got faith in you, regardless of you missing 3 field goals. Here you go, take a 53-yard punt and see if you can get us back in, because we know our defense will handle the offense, which obviously...
That's so weak. That's such a bad excuse. That's a bad coach. You should be like, hey, my kicker is cold. I'm going to go for it on fourth down. We need to win this football game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what McDermott did twice. Obviously, the 4th and 1 where they converted, and the 4th and 2 which they didn't.
Yeah, not a big fan of that. I mean, you got to assume that you're in a defensive slugfest. Please score points, especially doing another QB sneak. Don't you think that they're going to be like, hey, he's probably going to do it again? It's the highest percentage 4th down play in the NFL is the QB sneak. So, I mean, remember what they did to ice the game, where they faked to the running back and Josh did a wheel?
Yeah.
A bootleg? Yeah, that would have been a great play at that time. It seems like we rushed it, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
So better coaching there, please.
Yeah, I think it obviously determines how they really built up when you're going to go on the 4th down. I mean, obviously, if it was pass, yeah, you're probably going to expect a sneak. But if you do run, or run, pass, run, have a couple of runs in there, then that's where you're going to get the defense guessing. Are they going to do a sneak? Are they going to hand it to DeMarco? Are they going to hand it to Gore? Is Allen going to do a play action, or is he going to roll out and actually make that couple of yards to get that first down? So I think a little bit can be the play calling. I mean, on the series directly after the 4th missed field goal, on all 3 downs, it was pass.
Yeah.
Obviously, it led to pretty much a 3-and-out almost. And obviously, every single time it stopped the clock, which gave Tennessee a chance to potentially get back into it, obviously with the stop. I think the ball should have actually gone, maybe mixed up, maybe done pass, run, or run, pass.
You gotta run, kill the clock. What are you doing? You're killing me. It's I love the aggressiveness, but it's stupid because you have a quarterback who is still learning. You have wide receivers that can't really get separation against a really good defense. So, I mean, why did it take that drive for them to realize the smart thing to do, which was in the last drive? The last drive went for 50 yards. When they knew that we were going to run the ball, we went for 50 yards all on the run. Yeah. Do that. Oh, my God, do that. And, you know, when it matters, because you gave the Titans an opportunity that they shouldn't have had, and that's on coaching, and that needs to be cleaned up. Yeah. Most of my complaints for this game, if there are any, because, I mean, we won by one score. Mm. And, you know, 14-7 looks a lot better than 2-1, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think I got one more, obviously, with the mismanagement. I do want to get your view on it. It was towards the end of the second quarter. I can't remember exactly the field position they were in. I think they may have been in their own half. But with 44 seconds left, you still had your three times out. They decided to actually play conservative and actually and pretty much kneel to end the half. I mean,
the first play was an illegal substitution, so you lost 5 yards right away.
But would you? And then would you with was, those?
Yeah. So it's at the end of the second quarter, 44 seconds left. Josh Allen. Oh no, it was Josh Allen pass complete to Isaiah McKenzie for 6, and then the illegal substitution penalty, and then they said screw it. Yeah. I mean, we're getting the ball at the half, so that's fine.
But then
44 seconds isn't enough time. Not really with this offense. You know, Josh being a gunslinger, you know, he's going to possibly take that chance. You can't afford a pick or a pick six there. So that's fine. It's just when you get the ball at the half, you have to do something with it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he was hitting John Brown on some good balls on there. I'm just thinking, knowing what you know about that third quarter, the fact that they haven't always gone off quickly and obviously letting the opposition back in, would you even risk, especially if you do try and play a long deep ball, if it gets intercepted, say, at Tennessee's 20?
Did we even try a pass over 30 yards today? I mean,
no.
I don't think we did, no. So, I mean, the team doesn't think the way we think. You know, we look at the stats and the analysis, and we're like, oh, my God, we're bad in the third quarter. They're like, no, we're not bad in the third quarter. We just haven't figured it out, and we're going to do it today.
Yeah.
You know, so they believe in themselves to be able to go out there after the half and put up points in the third quarter, and that's what you want. You want your team to be eternally optimistic and believe in the guys that they have. Where we're back here, we're looking at what's going on, you know, but it could happen any week. When we come back from the bye week, starting with Miami, we could put up 21 points in the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the season, we could be a great third quarter team because I think they're still figuring it out, you know, with Brown, with Beasley, with Duke now, with Frank and the injury to Singletary. I still think they're figuring things out on offense. You know?
I mean, as I say, we can have our own opinions. I mean, to be honest, if I was McDermott, I probably would have at least attempted at least one. If you can get at least close to the field goal line, take that field goal attempt. Obviously, if you do try a long one, it gets intercepted in the 20. Then Tennessee, I think they had no timeouts left, would have about 25 seconds or so.
With a bad kicker.
Yeah, to go 80 yards to score. So I think with the three timeouts and the 44 seconds, yes, they had the illegal formation penalty, but you still have that amount of time to actually at least attempt, if you want to do one, and if it falls incomplete, then say, yeah, screw it. It probably won't happen again. Let's run the clock out.
Yeah.
But to me, I thought that was a bit conservative, knowing that obviously, we could have put points on the board. Then we knew we were going to receive the ball in the third quarter, potentially double up on the points and make it a little bit more comfortable than what it was.
Yeah, but if you know, if you were to ask McDermott, he would just say, you know, I know that we're only up by one, but, you know, we trust our defense. You know, he would say that, so. Yeah. And, I mean, it's right. You need to trust your defense. If you're up by seven against Tennessee, who's bad at offense, you should feel really good when you have a lead of any kind, so.
Yeah. I mean, what else have you got? Nuggets have you got on the...
Well, I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't take this time now to talk about the most important thing about the offense, which was Patrick DeMarco's poor usage. I mean, the Duke Williams Zay Jones situation.
It's me thinking you're going to say punter.
Yeah. speaking of punter, though, he did really good yesterday. Anyway, that's enough punter talk. Hot take. I don't think Zay Jones is a one rep per game player. I think he's better than this. I think he's a better route runner than Duke, and I think he's a better blocker.
Yeah.
Before anyone loses it on me, if you have a subscription to The Athletic or if you can watch the All 22, Zay Jones was getting open in the Pats game. It's just that Josh Allen was so pressured, he wasn't able to go through his reads. And he kept going to his first read, which was always the wrong play, which is why Josh had a very bad game against the Patriots. I mean, look at this. If you break down the snap usage for the Titans game, to bring DeMarco back up, he only had 14 snaps, 14% of the snaps. We're not running I form. So there are four wide receiver sets and empty backfield opportunities for all of the wide receivers to play. I think that... I want to see Allen just go through the routes better, you know? And I hope Zay responds when he comes back from the bye week.
I mean, it's almost similar to Robert Foster last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the 53, got cut, put on the practice squad for a bit, came back, and then obviously lit up the second half of the season.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, I think that's what McDermott's hoping will happen to Zay Jones. I mean, who knows what's going on with Zay? Yes, you say he's getting open. That's good. Can he reach the ball? Who knows? Depends on obviously the protection that Ann's getting. But
yeah,
it's also, has he truly recovered well from the breakdown he had in the off season? Because no matter what, if it is. If there is
wasn't
still
that, was that last off season? Was that this off season?
No, it was this off season.
Was this off season? I could have sworn. Okay.
Well, I think it was this off season. Possibly.
I thought it was last off season. I thought he responded last year to that.
It might have been, but either way,
whatever it is, yeah. I mean, he's not showing up. I mean, something's happening, you know, because all we see is on Sunday. So something's happening at practice where he deserved this benching.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, hopefully it'll get him more motivated.
Yeah,
it'll get him going again. And hopefully, we'll keep Duke on there, and we'll have that core, that wide receiver core that can get us more wins and more points.
Tommy Sweeney had 25% of the snaps. Andre Roberts had 18. Those are two guys that I don't need to see on the field right now. Unless Sweeney's in for blocking because Lee Smith is tired or something. And Andre Roberts, I mean, if he was going to be a wide receiver, he'd be a wide receiver. You know, he is a special teams guy, and that's all that he is. So Zay Jones has an opportunity for at least, I'd say, 30% of the snaps going forward. Show up, kid.
Yeah.
Especially in Miami, because I'm pretty sure Allen should go for like 400 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. regardless of Zay Jones, I love Duke Williams. I have since we signed him. I love his passion. The team seems to really, really rally around his energy, and I hope he continues to succeed. And if that's over Zay Jones, then okay.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a shout-out to Isaiah McKenzie as well. I know people probably didn't want him or didn't think he'd make the 53, but...
The kid's got
even
wheels.
Given the odd play here and there,
yeah,
you know he's going to do something. And 46 yards on the pass by Allen to set up the winning touchdown. you know.
I love it when that play works too, because it's called a pass play, even though it's clearly not. It's just a stat patter for Allen. So he actually was worse than we thought, because he had 40 less yards, you know, because that was a quote unquote pass. But
yeah,
whatever works. If people still follow and really care about those kinds of stats, then good that it works. Clearly, Taylor Lewan cares about those kind of stats. Did you see what he posted on Twitter?
Yeah, that was funny.
What a goon.
I was laughing a lot about it. I mean,
dude just cannot take the L. Loser.
He was posting the stat line that he had against, that Lawson had against the Patriots. That was last week, mate. What did he put up against?
Taylor Lewan posted every game so far of the season, because it does it in Google. It shows just a quick combo tackles, assisted tackles, sacks, and safeties. I don't know why they're putting that in there, but yeah. Shaq Lawson on the season, 6 combined tackles, 4 assists, 1 sack. He's a disruptor. I mean, Jordan Phillips doesn't make those sacks if Shaq Lawson's not blowing it up. Lorenzo Alexander, linebackers are not making sacks if Shaq Lawson's not doing his job, you know? So, it's not 1970 anymore. Nobody cares about counting stats. You're bad, you played bad, and you took steroids because you're not good at football. So sit down.
Yeah, I mean,
I know he doesn't listen to this podcast, but that felt good for me to say.
But no, it's a case that, they had Tennessee gave up like 17 sacks without him, and yet in his first game back, they gave up another 5 sacks. So something, potentially, it's either the defense itself or Lewan himself that actually is there's the issue on that O-line. I mean, it's a shame that
yes, I mean, especially in his first game coming back, he absolutely was the issue, you know? I mean, but that's fine.
But, I mean,
we can be done with his gooniness, you know? He doesn't matter to us anymore, you know?
Exactly. I mean, if every player that had a loss do something like that, then there'd be a lot of sour grapes. I think I think the world would run out of sour grapes if people were more like Taylor there. But it is what it is. I think he couldn't handle the handle it.
Yeah, Bills Mafia gonna enjoy his salty tears, so it's all good. I mean, that's really all I really have for the win. It's a win is a win, and you know they're coming ugly right now. And like I said, I still think this team is going to get better, and they will continue to get better, especially on offense. As long as the defense stays healthy, knock on wood, whatever superstition you can think of. Just Josh Allen, he's got to get his head right physically as well as, you know, game script wise. The last thing I would maybe say is let's hope that everyone gets healthy, because I think we lost half our roster at one point during the game.
Yeah, I think it was we had Mitch Morse out with ankle. Feliciano obviously took over, which meant obviously Long came in at right guard.
Yeah, and Saki didn't play.
No, I mean, now when it comes to that, with Saki not playing, Ford had until he went out with it was a head injury, wasn't it?
Ford. You know, I didn't write down Ford's injury because he was able to easily walk off the field, so I didn't take that into consideration. I'm pretty sure I didn't, for my injury report, I just looked at who might be questionable when we get back from the bye week. So yeah. I'm not really worried about Ford at all. I guess, if anything, I just think that right now we're probably carrying too many tight ends and wide receivers. We probably need that O-line depth, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
cutting McDermott was kind of like, but then again, he probably wasn't going to play, and you can't you don't game plan for injuries. So
I mean,
you bring the best 53 you can.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with Ford got that right tackle spot for the game until he went out. You can now clearly see that he is better suited for for the guard spot. And I think when Ryan Bates came in to relieve him after his injury, I think Ryan Bates had a good spell for the 24, 25 snaps that he had. He looked a little bit more comfortable at tackle. And it wouldn't be surprised me that if potentially that Bates will get some looks at right tackle, and they may now decide to put Ford inside.
Yeah, I mean, I still think that they don't want to give... I mean, I can't say I know what I'm talking about here, but for some reason they don't want to give Nsekhe majority snaps. They want him to be the sub guy. They must see something there. But just with Ford's quickness, his issue with quickness, they need to figure something out, because once we, you know, get into that, we see what a good defense can do, which was last week. Allen didn't have any time. He was panicking and throwing off his back foot. So they got to figure out what they're going to do with Ford going forward.
Well, I've just looked through. He was actually, it was a head injury, and he's actually, him and Trent Murphy are currently in concussion protocol.
Both on concussions, okay.
Yeah.
So let's hope those are quick and easy. And
Morse, an ankle. Milano picked up a hamstring injury.
Yep.
But that's another thing I wanted to go on about. I mean, that rough in the passer call on Milano, I think that was total bull crap.
It was, absolutely. But, I mean, I've learned, because, I mean, I've watched a lot of games. It's harder here, because after the Bills game, it's bedtime. But in America, when I could watch all the 1 o'clock games with the red zone, and then the 4 o'clock games are on, and then Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football, I was just watching more football. And honestly, the refs, the calls even out at the end of the season, you know, good, bad, they even out. Yeah, that's a bad call, but in the heat of the moment, without, you know, the view that we have, I bet you on the field, that's all they saw was him taking out the quarterback's legs. They have to call that. Under review, yes, it sucks because there's nothing he could do, but there's not a ref on the field who's just watching that whole play, just watching Milano, you know? So I think they have to call that. Yeah, it sucks, but I'm really trying to control my anger, and I'm not going to give any of it towards refs, because it's just, what can you do about it, you know?
Well, to be honest, I think they did make up for that bull crap call of Milano by actually 20 years later stopping a touchdown with an illegal forward pass.
How about that? I mean, yeah, 20, it feels good.
It feels good.
And it was very obvious. You know, he really watched that play again. He does not need – that player is wide open the whole time. And he sees him late. Thank God.
He probably could have even walked in.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just Mariota being bad at footballing. So thank God. Again, maybe chalk that up to the luckiness, but –
Well, Never. I've just seen that the man of the match at the Titans Bills game, Cairo Santos, has actually been, surprise, surprise, released today by the Titans.
Oh, that poor guy.
I know. That's get a break. Life.
I mean, look, you look at the kicking situation. I mean, it rained all morning, blah, blah, blah. It's not easy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's got to make that 30, whatever, that 34-yarder or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think he had a couple in 30, so that would have been a godsend. It would probably be a banker, or should have been a banker.
Well, I'm sure that he'll eventually play for the Vikings or the Bears, because those guys can't kick, so.
Well, you know what's going to happen. He's probably going to get signed up by the Patriots and actually lead them to 2 Super Bowls.
Oh, God. No, they signed their guy, Nugent. I picked him up in some fantasy leagues. But, your Bills are 4-1. Feels good going to the bye week, right?
Yep.
We got Miami coming out of it. How fantastic is that?
Yep. Got them twice coming up. You got, obviously, The Redskins. The
winless and uncoached Redskins, so that's going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the Eagles.
No?
I'm not worried about the Eagles. Depends on what happens tonight, but, I mean, right now I'm not worried about the Browns or the Broncos. Mm. The Cowboys, it looks like you could score on the – I mean, the Packers are just so good. I mean, but
– I'm glad I got Aaron Jones in my fantasy team.
Yeah, that's good stuff too, yeah. I have him in my league that I run with my boys. I kept him and – who did I keep? I kept him and Nick Chubb from last year, so I drafted really well last year.
I mean, I got him in Yahoo One you set up.
Mm-hmm.
45 points.
That's
pair
good.
Him up with Amari Cooper, got 34 points.
You have both of those guys.
Yep,
I have both of those guys in my other league too. All right,
also
no one wants
Alan
to listen
Robinson.
To us brag about our fantasy teams.
I had Alan Robinson. He picked up 25 points, and all that with Aaron Rodgers only scoring 9 points.
Yeah, it's so weird to see that they're going from, like, I mean, he hasn't really done anything this year. He's, like, no massive games where there's, like, 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's not the team they are anymore. It's very interesting. Oh, especially with Devontae Adams out yesterday.
Yeah.
Do you still have the Bills at 11-5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, the Patriots, definitely, that's going to be close. I think we could probably nick it, but I just can't see it. So I've got that cut down as a loss on that one.
Yeah.
As much as I want to say it, I've got the Cowboys down as a loss.
Yeah.
I think.
Especially in Dallas, you know, that's a tough one to do. So.
I mean, yes, the defense is going to need to step up big time on that one, but I can't, unless obviously the offense finally clicks and gets the confidence from the winnable games,
mm-hmm.
I can't see them really making that much of an effect on Dallas' defense. And yeah, so
it looks like a guaranteed 10 wins. You have 4 now, then you have Miami in Washington, in Miami, in Denver, and Pittsburgh and the Jets.
Yeah.
So just win one of those hard games, boom, 11-5, let's go, playoffs, book it.
Exactly. Exactly. I think this is probably one of the better times to be a Bills fan. I think this is where you've got to have a little bit more, everyone's got to have a little bit more optimism, stop being negative, be more positive. We're in a good position.
Yeah, great position, great opportunity, great schedule. Things are working out for us.
Yeah.
Enjoy the bye week, have some drinks and get comfortable and watch some other teams. But, Do we have a mailbag, right?
Yes, we've actually got we've got a few questions we've got from the fans, and obviously we'll also be putting a post out later on to ask for your questions in the mailbag for the bye week, because we're gonna try and do another fan mailbag. But the first question we had was from Buffalo Bills, Bills Ireland. This one probably be more up your street. He asked, what route is the Super Bowl parade going to take?
That's a really good question. You have a few options. If depending on where you start, it could be Main Street. But if you want a longer route, then you can follow the route that the St. Patrick's Day parade takes. And that's going down Delaware Avenue, probably starting in the Elmwood Village and then heading downtown. It's a really good time. I've been out there for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I can just imagine that 100-fold.
Mm.
So, yeah, book your plane tickets now, Buffalo Bills, Ireland, and get your spot on Delaware Avenue.
Yeah. Next one was from Sam Briscoe. He says, does today's or yesterday's win show that Duke Williams should have been signed from the start?
I don't think so. I still think that the biggest issue with Duke might be his route tree. And I think that that's probably something that he's been working on. I mean, the guy, you hear him talk, and he knows what he has to do.
Yeah.
And he's going to do everything it takes. So, he's not going to, like, develop into our number one receiver over the next few weeks or into next year. This is definitely going to be a committee wide receiver group for the time being, unless we trade for Diggs or AJ Green, or even if we draft a guy next year, it's going to be a committee team still. But I just, no matter what happens, I just hope he succeeds and becomes, like, at least a number two, you know, a peerless price, if you will, you know?
Yeah. I think me personally, I think the wide receiver core, even tight end core, even with Croft currently out injured, I think is probably the best that we've had in a while, and I do feel more confident with it. I mean, look, John Brown went 5 for 75 on, and was targeted 5 times with it. Cole Beasley, yes, he's still yet to have that breakout game,
but he's not going to. That's not his play, you know. What Cole Beasley is doing right now is what Cole Beasley has been brought in to do.
Yeah.
One of the things about wide receivers, if I could just interject real quick, is
go for it.
It comes down to the coaches, the coaching, the coaches, and the game plan. Because at one point, look at what Watkins, Woods, and Hogan have done once they've left.
Yeah.
They were good. And I bet you they were doing well on our team. We just had the wrong play calls and the wrong quarterback and the wrong coaches. So I would say that over the last few years, that was the best wide receiver group that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in, was that Scott Chandler probably? Or was he before that?
Hold on. Chandler, I think he was a couple of years before that.
Yeah. So who was the tight end during then?
I think it was Charles Clay.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, he was all right with Miami. Maybe he just didn't have – maybe he was on a team where the coaching staff just didn't care about the tight end. But, I mean, the guy could play. Remember that game he had against Miami where he was just breaking tackles and getting open? I mean, if you could have gotten that out of him every week. So I would love it if by the end of the year I'll eat this comment. But I think that was the best receiving group that we had in the last few years.
Yeah.
But I hope they prove me wrong.
Yeah. I mean, next one's more of a shout-out. It's from some of my friend Jan Coetzee. He just goes, Juke. That's all he had to say.
That's going to be so much fun doing all year.
Yeah. Next one, I think he probably need to – well, I think we probably covered this. It's just something that if we had Rob on, we would have actually asked him this question. It was, any watch any other US-based sport? I think we covered that back in the first fan mailbag, I think. Mm-hmm. But so if you listen to that, Massey, have a listen back. Obviously, if we had Rob on the show, we would have asked him those questions. Next one from David Purvis is just how – legit is this defense?
I'm not gonna say anything that might jinx it, but I mean, as of right now, if you look at stats like DVOA and stuff like that, they're not one of the best ever. That would unfortunately go to the Patriots of this season right now. The Patriots, dating back to, I think the stat line was created and has dated back to, like, created recently, but dates back to the mid-90s. The Patriots' defense of this season is the best defense of all time, based off that stat and when the history goes back to. The group that are doing that stat haven't gotten to, like, the 85 Bears yet or anything. But
yeah,
this is a defense where if your offense can't figure their own shit out, that you can rely on them to keep you in the game no matter what. And looking at this, the rest of the season, the best offense that we played is probably the Patriots, and we held them. The biggest challenges are going to be the Eagles, the Browns, and the Ravens. And I think that based off of what we did with the Patriots, we're going to be in every single game that we play this year because this defense is so good. Stay healthy, please, my God.
I think it maybe just need what one piece for next year is to find that off the ball linebacker to replace Lorenzo, because I
that and maybe a cornerback, maybe some cornerback depth. But it's weird because you would mostly associate a good defense with turnovers, and these guys aren't ball hawks, and they don't lead the league in sacks. But what they do lead the league in is yards against, or at least if not leading, then they're top three. And I would say that's more important. I mean, kudos to the Titans. You didn't turn the ball over again. I wonder what the record is, but you lost. So that's not the most important thing, is turnover. So don't worry about that if anybody is out there. We don't turn the ball over enough. No, but look at all the punts that we're causing, you know?
Exactly. We got two more questions on the mailbag. One of them from Scott Barge. With Mr. Bean being a magician, if and when Zay Jones gets traded, instead of them actually cutting him, what realistically do you think that Bean could get for him?
A sixth round draft pick? Absolutely. The guy's done nothing to garner a fourth, and that would be the ceiling for Zay Jones, is a fourth. But you got to look at the situation. The guy doesn't have any of the counting stats. He doesn't grade out well as being a standout at anything. Size, speed, open depth of his separation. Maybe if Zay Jones was having a few hundred-yard games here and there, maybe he would just pop off the page a little better. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do anything with Zay Jones, it's going to be a package with Zay and some picks for something, you know? If you want a second or third round pick for Zay Jones, you're going to be sending a four and a five as well.
Yeah, I think to be honest, I mentioned it earlier. I think this is McDermott doing his Robert Foster role on Zay Jones. In my opinion, I can't see them cutting or trading Zay Jones. I think. They see something in him still, but it's just trying to get through to him that just because you were a second round pick doesn't mean you're going to guarantee to be starting or being one of the guys that you're going to get the majority of the throws to. You still got to respect the process and earn those reps. I mean, obviously another reason why obviously Duke Williams got called up the last part of last week, he was actually running with the first team in with the special teams. So they were looking at him potentially to do special teams, and obviously what he's done in practice got him called up even more. But I can't see them potentially getting rid of Zay just yet. Maybe if he doesn't improve during the season, they'll release him after his contract, which I think expires at the end of this year or next year.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, if you could rehabilitate his career and then trade him in the offseason, but I'm not going to look it up right now. It might take me a second, and we're in the middle of it. But I'm pretty sure he's done as well at the end of the season, so they're just going to let him go.
Yeah, and the last...
I mean, there's so many wide receivers now. I mean, look at... You can get a guy to step in. DJ Chark, AJ Brown. I mean, there's so many guys. So, I mean, it's not a position of need like... When we traded Cordy Glenn, that's a position of need, you know? Mm. So that's why we got something good for him.
And the last question before we wrap up is from David Schoons. He says, what area would you like the Bills to work on most or improve during the bye week?
I would say it's got to be the middle, the... Not the inner, like, well, I don't know what's it called, like the mid-range passing attack. Stuff over, stuff like between 10 and 20 yards. I'm seeing a lot of Josh. I mean, it's a catch-22 because you want him to trust his receiver and throw the ball into single coverage, right?
Yeah.
But then he throws the interceptions and you're like, ah, shit, Josh, make a better decision.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, he's showing that he can do those things in the fourth quarter. I need to see that though in the second and the third quarter. I mean, in the first and the third quarter. So, yeah, that those the posts, the 15-yard posts, 10-yard ins. Show me you can throw for 300 yards.
Yeah.
That's what we need to work on.
I think it's Josh Ashy probably sitting down, learning, watching a few more games. I mean, he had the interception, which some people are blaming Yeldon for. Obviously, he took one hit when he actually ran. But now, in that game, in Tyson's game, he looked a lot more composed. He actually started sliding. He threw the ball away when needed. Obviously, took the sack if and when it was actually if he couldn't throw it away. But it's just seeing how him and DeBall can work that offense to actually get a little bit more in, especially with the mid-range passes, trying to get that O-line working on the protection a lot better to keep him upright, to allow him to make those throws. I think, yes, it's all well and good him learning it that way, but you've got to have that O-line there to at least give him that time to look before throwing.
I mean, there was at least one play in the first quarter where I was like, oh my God, why are you bouncing out of the pocket? You have so much more time. He literally had two more seconds if he would have stayed still. I mean, the protection was not breaking down at all. But hold your head high on Josh Allen. I mean, for as much as we criticize the play calling, it's still maybe conservative, but it's not killing us. 62.6%, that's better than average. The only thing, like I was saying, for my thing was yards gained per pass attempt is 6.9. And I mean, that's not the worst, but I want that to be closer to 8 or 9, you know?
I mean, the bye week, there's a lot of stuff that they can work on. I mean, probably the biggest thing is actually making sure that everyone comes back for the Dolphins game healthy.
Most important.
That's probably the main thing that you want to work on, is actually making sure that you get no injuries during practices and actually get everyone back healthy, so you can have at least a whole week of practice where you're going to have your starting five, you're going to have the running backs you need, and actually you can practice like that. But it just varies from game to game or week to week.
As of right now, I mean, my trust is in McDermott. You know, trust the process. I think that they'll figure it out.
Yeah. I think it's just keeping the faith, pretty much.
Yeah.
Sorry to quote a bit of Bon Jovi there. I know there's probably some people out there that still hate him for...
Yeah.
I think, but
a little bit. But hey, I mean, no matter what we said, and maybe if I listen back and it sounds like we're really critical, it's just that we're not used to being in this situation.
Yeah.
And the last time we were, it all fell apart. So we want them to you know, continue. So we're 4-1, and I think that wins will continue to come. So regardless of if we sounded negative at all today, it's just because we want to clean up the small mistakes, because we think we really have a shot at something here.
Yeah, I think we go into the bye week, as you say, 4-1. We have a chance to end the three stretch home run we have directly after the bye week. We could potentially be going 7-1, 6-2. The worst, to be honest, after the three home games. But
if we're sitting 7-3, how amazing is that going to be?
Yeah, but it's something that we've got to look forward to. But I would just say, I'll just say to you all Bills fans, just enjoy the bye week. I mean, at the end of this show, I'm gonna put on a bit of a hype song, which is from a local artist in Buffalo, Dom Brown. I had listened to it this afternoon. I think it's quite catchy, quite getting the people up into hype mode on what could actually what can actually go forward and actually get everyone excited for what could be 10 plus win season and playoffs.
Feel good out there.
Yeah. So next episode obviously is going to be a bye week. We're going to try and get, we're hoping you'll get the, you guys out there will get your questions in for a mailbag.
We're looking at some interviews as well, right?
Yep. We're lined up at least one interview. We're trying to get a second one, try and give you a bit of variety, but it is a case from me and Alex. Enjoy the bye week. Enjoy a week where we don't have to worry about whether Josh Allen's going to throw three interceptions or goes over four, could go over 300 yards. Just enjoy it. Have fun. Enjoy the fact that we're 4-1. And obviously continue listening and subscribing to us. So on that note, it's good evening, good afternoon for this time. Until next time, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Work?
No.
Huh?
That's who we are.
Those on three. One, two, three.